Hey, you just got the Cliff Notes version of the Bible. All right? So I just thought it's kind of good to see how what we're celebrating, you know, the Jesus' birthday, is how that fits in. You know, why did he come? Why come as a baby and so on? And so it's just good to see that all in one kind of sitting in just a few minutes. And so, you know, it's interesting, too, that that song that was just sung there about making room for Jesus, and will you make room for him in your heart? And that's really what we're going to talk about tonight. Can any of the kids in here tell me whose birthday it is tomorrow? Yeah. Jesus' birthday is tomorrow. I was thinking about this. Can you imagine if you if it was your birthday, and you had people over, and they all brought gifts, and they exchanged gifts with each other, but didn't pay you any attention? Can you imagine that? Well, that's kind of what happens sometimes around Christmas, is that, you know, Christmas is really, it's Jesus' birthday, and there's lots of gift exchanging going on, but we kind of don't make room for Jesus, you know? It's a total disconnect. And so today, this evening, I just want to spend a few minutes talking about how we can make room for Jesus. And would you just pray with me for a minute here? Heavenly Father, we just thank you for Jesus. We thank you for sending him to save us from our sins. And thank you, too, just for everybody that's here tonight. And I believe that everyone is here for a purpose, and there's no accident. And so we just pray that you would help us to hear what you have to say about making room for Jesus in our lives. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. So the passage I want to read here is just these seven verses in Luke chapter 2. At Derby Creek here, we've been going through a series. We call it Christmas According to Luke. And we've just been going through kind of slowly through Luke chapter 1. And now we finally made it to chapter 2 in the first seven verses. And so let me just read these for you, these first seven verses. And what we're going to do is, as a result of going through these seven verses and talking about things, we're going to answer three questions tonight. All right. One is, why don't we have room for Jesus? Why do we need to make room for Jesus? And then lastly, how do you make room for Jesus? All right. So here's our verses. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And so this is what we're going to talk about. We're going to really got to kind of key in on this idea of not making room for Jesus. And as you can see, and as you saw in the little animated video, you know, they went up to the door and the innkeeper is like, you know, there's no room here. There's no room here for you. And so we take a look at this first question about why don't we make room for Jesus. And there's several different ones that come to my mind. And one is just that sometimes we're just not paying attention to what God is doing. You know, he's trying to get through to us about who Jesus is and how he wants to interface with our lives and what he wants to do in our lives, but we're just not listening. We're not paying attention. All right? And so that's one of the things that's going on. And, you know, is that some of the ways that God tries to get our attention is that sometimes through the troubles of life, the difficulties of life. I think back to in my college years how God used some difficulties and failures to really alert me to the fact that Jesus Christ loved me and God sent him to be my Savior. And it just woke me up to this and got me interested in that. But it took some difficult things to go through to kind of alert me to that, to get me seeking. I thought about this quote from C.S. Lewis, too, and he talks about this. He says, pain insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our consciences, but shouts in our pains. It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world. And maybe you've experienced that. Maybe some of you sitting here today have experienced some deep pain in your life, some difficulties, and that drew you to God. And that caused you to make room for Jesus. Or maybe you're sitting in here today in the midst of difficulties and troubles, wondering what God is doing. And I maybe just throw out to you that maybe he's trying to get you to make room for Jesus. All right, so that's one of the ways that he sometimes tries to get our attention, but sometimes we're not paying attention and therefore don't make room for him. And so another way that God sometimes tries to get our attention is through the words of other people. Through the words of other people, I can't tell you how many times I've heard people say that they came to faith in Jesus and made room for him in their life because someone else, a friend, a family member, said something to them or had a word of encouragement or prayed for them or was just there for them and then was able to share the love of Christ, you know, through word and deed. And so sometimes it's the words of others that God uses to speak into our situation and try to get us to say, hey, you need to make room for Jesus in your life. Now, there's a verse here I want to read. It's in John 4, verses 7 through 10. And, you know, and sometimes we just don't understand who Jesus is, okay? And so, we may be paying attention, but we just don't understand. We've never really heard the real story of who Jesus is. Maybe we've heard someone else's version of it, maybe even society's version of it, but maybe not really what the Bible actually says. And we're entering into a passage here where there's a woman who didn't really understand who Jesus was. She didn't even realize who she was talking to. Here in John chapter 4, verses 7 to 10, it says, "A woman from Samaria came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, 'Give me a drink,' for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. And the Samaritan woman said to him, 'How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans.' And Jesus answered her," and I've highlighted this, it says, "'If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, "Give me a drink," you would have asked him and he would have given you living water.'" And so she's sitting there right beside Jesus, right? And she doesn't know who he is. And, you know, hey, I get that. And so I'm just saying, you know, maybe you haven't made room for Jesus in your life because you have not really understood fully who he is. And so what's interesting about the rest of this story is that, you know, she goes on to put her faith in Jesus. She makes room for him in her heart, and she tells the whole town. It's amazing. And so, but that's just another reason why we may not have made room for Jesus in our lives, because we just don't know. Now, another reason that we don't make room for Jesus is that we crowd our lives with other things. We crowd our lives with other things. Well, think about this. You know that the innkeeper there was all booked up. His place was already all crowded with people, right? He didn't need anybody else to be coming in, apparently. And so, but you know what? We can fill up our lives with other things and then don't make room for him because we feel our lives are full. They're already filled up with things, right? Now, there is a scripture here in Mark chapter 4. And this is in the middle of a parable, and Jesus is explaining this parable, and he's talking about sowing the seed of the gospel, right? And so, and then in this parable, which is a story with a point, right? He says here, and others, meaning some of the other seed that was sown on, among the thorns, they are those who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word and it proves unfruitful. And so what can happen is that, you know, we get we fill our lives with things, right? We have things to take care of. We have things that we're seeking after. Maybe it's, you know, a higher salary, maybe it's this or that, but what the reality is, though, is those things can really choke out or not make room for the Word of God in our lives. And have you ever thought about that maybe things could be keeping you from making room for Jesus? It's true. It's true because we can, you know, those things take time. Those things take our attention. Those things take money, and we've got to do other things to make the money to take care of the things, and on and on and on, right? And there's nothing inherently wrong with things. They're tools, but I'm just saying that we can be in a pursuit of things, and those things can crowd out making room for Jesus. Now, so we've seen some of the reasons, you know, why we don't make room for Jesus, and I'm sure there's plenty of others, right? But why do we need to make room for Jesus? Okay, so this is the second question. Why do we need to make room for Jesus? And the first thing I'm going to suggest to you here is that because we don't think we need to make room. Oh, excuse me, that's the last reason. Sorry, I'm out of order. Sorry about that. One more reason why we don't make room for Jesus is we don't think we need to make room. Now, this is kind of interesting when you think about it because, you know, when your life's going great, right? When your life is going great, sometimes you just think, well, what do I need Jesus for? What do I need God for? I've got everything I need, right? I've got everything I need. And really, to be honest, that is a position, an attitude of pride, because what we're really not understanding is what our actual need is, and we'll get to that in a minute. But, you know, God even warned his people about that. When entering the promised land, he says in Deuteronomy 8, he says, "Take care lest you forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his rules and statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have good houses and live in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold is multiplied and all that you have is multiplied," there's a lot of multiplying going on there, right? "And then your heart be lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery." He's giving his people a warning. He's saying, listen, the tendency is going to be, as when things are going great, you've got a great job, you know, you've got a house, you got all, you know, and all the things are just going great, is you're going to forget me. That's going to be the tendency. And so the issue is here, and again, why we don't make room for Jesus is that because we don't think we need to make room. We don't see our need, really. That's ultimately it, right? Okay. So now on here, why do we need to make room for Jesus? This sounds kind of strange maybe at first hearing, but because he made us. Because he made us. Now, why am I saying that? Well, I'm saying that because, I put up a light fixture today. And if I tell you what, if I had not read the instructions, I would have been in deep doo-doo, okay? I was already having trouble, and I read the instructions, okay? And I don't know, how many of you actually don't read the instructions typically? You kind of feel like you can figure it out, right? Okay, and the rest of you are lying, you know? But no, I'm just kidding. But you know, and so what we usually do is, say, you know, say when we're having trouble with something, say consult the instruction manual, right? Well, so really, what we ought to be saying too is that we're having trouble in our lives, we say consult the Creator, the one who made you, right? And that would be Jesus, okay? And we see there in John chapter 1, right, in the opening verses of John chapter 1, how, you know, Jesus is involved in creating everything, everyone, right? And so, you know, just like if you created something, you're the inventor of something, you know how it's supposed to work, you know its best use and all of that, its purpose, right? So why do we need to make room for Jesus? It's because he can show us our purpose. He gives us our purpose. He gives us our direction in life, right? And when we don't have that, we kind of wandering around looking for that in other things and other people. And we really do, if we're honest, we find out we're never satisfied. We're never satisfied, right? And so when you realize that Jesus is the Creator there, right, and that so I need to make room for him, he shows me my purpose. He tells me what how he's made me and what he's made me for, right? Another aspect of why we need to make room for Jesus is because he is our Savior. He is our Savior, right? We've sung about this here. Think about this. This is probably one of the most famous verses in the Bible here, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life." Right? So without Jesus in your life, without making room for him, right, it says there that we will perish. Okay? We will perish. We'll be separated from God for all eternity. All right? So we need Jesus. He is our Savior. You know, you saw in that little animated video there how it says, you know, God has a rescue plan and he's been working on it, right? Since the fall, so to speak, but really in his mind from all eternity past. But just think about this. You know, you need a Savior. You and I need a Savior. We have sin in our lives, and that sin separates us from God, right? And that's why we need a Savior. We are not born into this world with a relationship with God. But Jesus came so that we could have a relationship with God, right? At the end of that, very end of that video, and it goes over those quick overviews of what happened after Jesus was born, right? You know, it talked about how you saw that picture of the cross, right? He went to the cross, he died on the cross, and then he rose again from the dead, right? So that we might be forgiven. And so anyone who puts their faith in Jesus and believes in him, in who he is and why he came, right, to be our Savior, that you can be a Christian. You can be saved. And so we have to realize that he is our Savior, right? And it kind of gets back to that other reason, right? If we don't realize why we need a Savior, why would we look for one, right? And so we have to understand that there is a need, right? That there is a need. Now, why do we need to make room for Jesus? Because when we make room for him, we enjoy a life of peace and power. You know, it's interesting. Again, going back to, you know, him being our creator, he made us. And, well, we know when you work according to how you're made and how God wants us to live, you can walk in peace and power that he supplies. You think about this, the peace aspect here. It says in John 14, these are Jesus' words. He says, "These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." Now listen to this. He says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you, not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." And Jesus is promising here some kind of peace that only he can give. And this is a peace regardless of circumstances. This is a peace that the Bible says surpasses all understanding, which means, you know, when everything's going crazy and most people would be going, you know, just frantically afraid and concerned, we can, and we have access, if you're a Christian, to his peace. His peace. All right? And so we can enjoy a life of peace if we make room for Jesus in our lives. Now, what about that power that's mentioned there? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God gave us a spirit, not of fear, but of power and love and self-control." Okay, this is an interesting verse here, but just think about this. You know, it was mentioned earlier there in that John verse where Jesus said he's going to send the Holy Spirit, right? Well, the Holy Spirit, then, in every believer's life, when we make room for Jesus, he's going to help us and empower us to get victory over sin, those things in our lives that we have trouble shedding, right, from our old way of life. And he gives us the power to walk in victory and leave those things behind. Now, so we've seen some of the reasons, right, why we don't make room for Jesus. You know, whether it's things are getting crowded out because of all the things we have to take care of or that we're after, right? Or maybe we're not even aware of who Jesus is. But we also see the reasons why we do need him. He gives us purpose, and he is our Savior, in which everybody needs to be saved from their sins. So the question really remains then, right, how do we make room for Jesus? How do we make room for Jesus? And really, it's quite simple. Think about the innkeeper, right? I was thinking back to, you know, If the innkeeper knew who was knocking at her door, can you imagine the marketing campaign he could have had? Savior born here, you know? They would be adding on and building, you know, this, you know, innkeepers, you know, thing. I mean, I was just thinking about this, but the innkeeper, all he had to do was just let him in, right? Let him in and receive him, right? Really receive him rather than saying, we don't have room here. We don't have room here. And really, in one sense, it's that simple for you and me to make room for Jesus and experience that forgiveness the Savior brings and to experience that peace and power that he promises. We just need to receive him. And receiving is basically the idea is just that to welcome him, all right, to welcome him. And I'm going to look at a verse or several verses here in closing. John chapter 1, verses 9 to 12. Listen to what this says. The true light, okay, which is speaking of Jesus here, the true light which gives light to everyone was coming into the world. And he was in the world. And the world was made through him. Remember I said Jesus created, right? Right? And yet the world did not know him. They didn't understand who he was. He came to his own people, right? And his own people did not receive him, i.e., they didn't make room. They did not make room for him, his own people. But to all who receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. You know, this last verse here, this John 1:12, is really the gospel in a nutshell. It's how you become a Christian. It's how you make room for Jesus. You simply need to believe, like it says here. It says, to all who receive him, who believed in his name. What it means to believe in his name is not just like, oh, I believe a person, Jesus existed, or I believe that his name was Jesus. And, you know, but it means who he really said he was, right? He was God come in the flesh, right? And he came, right? It says the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many, right? That was his purpose in coming, so that he could ransom us, right? And he paid the price with his blood, right? When you pay a ransom, you got to pay something out. Jesus paid with his blood, with his life, right? So that you and I could have a relationship with God, right? Like he says here, you have the right to become children of God when you believe, right? When you believe, right? And I think back over 30 years ago when I believed, right? And I received, I'll never forget, I was in my dorm room, nobody around, just sitting there thinking, you know, God, I know you've been working in my life. You've been trying, in so many words I was saying, you've been trying to have me make room for you in my life and for you to kind of, in a sense, be the center of my life. And I've not, you know, I just admitted, I'm a sinner, and I need you to save me. And basically, I just said, you've got full control. I don't know what that means. I didn't have all knowledge. I just didn't know what it meant, but I just knew that was the attitude I needed to have, okay? And that wasn't me. That was God, okay? God does that. God does that in a person's heart when they're ready to receive him, okay? And so this evening, I just want to say to you, you know, if you've been wondering what does it mean to be a Christian, or maybe you've recognized, I've not made room for Jesus in my life. This evening, I just encourage you, receive him, believe in him and who he said he was, and he will honor his promise here, which says, you will become, and you, at that moment, you become a child of God. Child of God. Now, some people say, well, aren't we all God's children? Well, only in the sense that we're all created by him and made in his image, okay, but this is talking about, you know, being one of his children who's saved. In that sense, he becomes your father, okay? Your father. You are adopted into the family of God, okay? And so I just urge you, you know, don't let Christmas go by without making room for Jesus. Maybe some of you, I'm sure plenty of you here are already Christians. You've already made room for Jesus in your life. He is the center of your life. And, you know, even as Christians, we can kind of let things kind of take over and we kind of lose sight of what Christmas is about, right? So maybe what we can do, if we're believers already this Christmas, is just be reminded. You know, think about your life as the rooms in the inn. All right, you got the living room, you got the family room where the family is. Is Jesus? Are you making Jesus a part of your family, or is he just this? He's just this person we kind of visit on Sundays, but he's really not a part of our family life. Man, I just tell you, let Jesus in every room, right? Let him in the bedroom. Let him in the garage. That's really where we put our garbage and stuff we don't want to deal with, right? Let him in there, okay? Because he's the master fixer. He's the master cleaner-upper, okay? And so what you want to do is, you know, you want to let him be a part of your finances. You want to, because he is the Lord, okay? And what he can do is, what we said here, he can give you power to really experience the abundant life. Have you ever heard that where Jesus says, you know, I came that you might have life and have it to the full, right? Well, you know what? You are not going to experience life to the full, even as a Christian, if you don't let him in those various rooms, okay? And that means, you know, letting him have his say, right, in your marriage, right? Doing it his way. And if you don't know what that is, then that's a quest for you. You need to figure out, what does God say in the Bible about marriage, about that relationship? What does he say about parenting? What does he say about money? You know, and letting him in the rooms of your life, okay? I encourage you to do that, all right? Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you again for Jesus. Lord, I just pray that for anyone here that has not made room at all for Jesus in their life, that they would receive him and, you know, welcome him and believe in him and why he came to die on the cross for our sins. He was born to die, and then he rose again from the grave, proving he had accomplished what he set to do, which was to die for our sins in our place, to take the wrath of God for us. How could we not make room for him? And Lord, those of us that already know him, Lord, help us. If we're not letting Jesus into the various areas of our life, the various rooms, if you will, and letting him be Lord in those areas, Father, I just pray you'd help us yield, put our pride aside, and say, Jesus knows best. I want to know what he wants for my family. I want to know what he wants for my marriage. I want to know what he wants and how he wants to live at work and at school. Lord, we pray for your power to do that. In Jesus' name, amen.